Well, you know, when I'm looking at these verses here in 1 Peter chapter 3, it almost seems like the scripture is very tenderly encouraging to the ladies. I mean, he says, if you do this, if you submit to your husband, and if you live like this, your unbelieving husband's going to see the beauty of your life, and he might be saved. It's an encouraging thing. And then I come to verse 7. And verse 7 seems so much different. Husbands, in the same way, be considered as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. It almost seems like there's a little bit of a threat, a warning there for us guys, and I think we have to pay attention on that. But Peter here is laying out some of our responsibilities to our wives. Husbands, he's writing to us. And there's no way to get away from his words, and they're powerful, and they give us quite an assignment to do. And so we want to make sure we understand what he's saying. So what is a husband's responsibility to his wife? Well, here's some that Peter lays in front of us. He says, first of all, that a husband should serve his wife. Now, you see that phrase there? In the same way. In the same way. Does that phrase look familiar? Yeah, we saw it back in verse 1. In verse 1, it says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's look at the context once again. In chapter 2 and verse 13, as he's beginning this whole area of work about submission, he says, everybody, and that's the emphasis, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. So because the Lord is God and he's telling us to submit, we ought to submit because he told us to. And then slaves, verse 18, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. We should submit with respect. And then in verse 21, we should submit as Christ submitted. Even though he was accused falsely, he still gave in and surrendered to the Father's will for his life. He submitted. And then he comes to the wives and he says, now wives, I want you to do it in the same way, with respect. And as Christ did, even if you get harsh treatment, I want you to submit. But now he comes to verse 7 and he says, now husbands, in the same way, he's talking there about submission for the husband. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit's telling us. It might sound like a confusing thing because God has put the husband above the wife, but yet he says, husbands, in the same way, use that same submissive attitude. So here we are, husbands, we're to submit to our wives, but let me show you how that works in a practical sense. A believing husband submits to the idea and to the serving of his wife. He's in rank and in role above her, but yet he still stoops to serve, just like Jesus acted as a servant. He's supposed to serve her in attitude and action. There's no place here for superiority. She is not a doormat that he's supposed to walk on. There's no place here for him to act superior. She is not there for our pleasure only. God has given us authority over our wives, but Jesus gives us the example of all that. And so here we are in Matthew chapter 20. And Jesus, sometimes he must have just shook his head at his disciples because they're walking down the road talking about, okay, I want to be the greatest in the kingdom. When Jesus is king, I want to be beside him and I want to be the greatest. I'm sure Jesus did an eye roll. He had to have. Instead, he comes back to them and he says, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. In other words, my kingdom's going to be a whole lot different. My kingdom's going to be filled with servants. And so he says, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And then this wonderful verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus said, I came down here on earth not to reap and bring to myself, but to give away. Not to be served, but to serve. And now think about that. Just think about that a little bit. Here we have Jesus, and he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's nobody higher than him. He is equal with God in every way, shape, and form. Everything he meets down on here on earth, every man, woman, and child, every beastie, everything, he created. And he's far greater than any of them. But his mission on earth was to serve. And so that's what he came to do. And so here we have the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, kneeling before his disciples, washing their feet. Yeah, that's such an amazing picture to look at and to comprehend, that Jesus, the greatest, knelt before the least and was washing feet. And that's, husband, our attitude in the marriage relationship. We are servants of our wives. God has put us in authority above them. They're to follow our leadership, but we are to serve them. That's his plan for our lives. We humble ourselves to serve and to bless them in every way that we can. It's important. One marriage counselor wrote this, love is a verb. Love is a verb, he says. It's proactive. Therefore, husbands, lay down your lives. Lay down your own desires. Be selfless with your time. Listen to your wives, and don't just listen, but ask questions about how they feel. Listen to them when they're having a bad day, and don't just assume that they're asking for advice. I tell you, we husbands, we love to run in and solve things, give them solutions, but no, just listen. And then he goes on to say, seek out ways to serve your wife and wash her feet. Do not settle on waiting for her to bring problems up, but rather keep actively involved so that problems never have a chance to surface. And then he summarizes and says, as of yet, I have never seen a marriage where the husband served his wife that ended up in divorce. I think Peter got it right. Rather, when the husband serves, I have found these to be the most fruitful and content marriages. So it may be a difficult thing to try to lay down your life for your wife, and you may not get to relax quite as much, but it's worth it, she writes. God says to us, husbands, I want you to learn about service. I want you to serve this woman who is at your side. This woman that I have put you in authority over, I want you to serve her. That's a pretty big challenge, isn't it? It gets harder. Let's look at the second one. A husband should be considerate. A husband should be considerate. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. This is a really interesting concept here. What it means is that we as husbands need to understand her. Understand our wife. The Greek here, and the King James translates it this way, says we ought to dwell with them according to knowledge. Now consider it, treat them considerately, is really the proper English translation for that phrase. But if you don't understand what considerate means, then you kind of lose it. It's sort of weak, I guess. But here's what considerate means in its application. And the first thing I should point out, that a marriage license is really like enrolling in the school of lifelong relationship learning. I mean, you're going to start from there and you're going to learn things you never knew before, husband. You're going to be put with a being that's much different than you and thinks different than you and acts different and processes information different. It is going to be amazingly different. And you are going to learn a lot by being in her world. Now, what we have to do then is we begin in that school of lifelong learning. We have to learn what her likes and her dislikes are. You know, there are some things she really likes. Boy, there are some things she really doesn't like. A wise husband will learn to know what those things are before he runs amok, especially in those things she doesn't like. We need to study her to find out what is her strengths and what are her weaknesses. What are the areas that she really likes to apply herself and she feels confident and able in those areas? We should cater to those areas and allow her to work in those areas. On the other hand, what are her dislikes? What are her weaknesses? And unfortunately, all of us as human beings have those. We have to understand what those are. And so when that happens, we don't put pressure on her in those areas. God may want to stretch her sometimes to learn strength in those areas. But we have to figure out what her strengths and weaknesses are. I think after you live with a person for a while, if you're paying attention, you begin to find out what those things are. You need to learn what is it from her childhood that really wounded her deeply. Most all of us come out of childhood with some sort of scars on our soul. And I think it's up to the husband to understand, okay, my wife does this because of this. And there's something going on there that's linked to childhood. As a matter of fact, the woman that you marry is going to change as she gets older. She'll go through many stages. You're going to have to learn all of those stages and what she's like and how she's thinking. And so you begin to build this knowledge base about your wife. And then considerate means you start behaving toward her in the ways that you know are best for her. You consider those things, her strengths, her weaknesses, her likes and her dislikes, and you live to match up against those things to bless her in those areas. If you know that certain words are going to cut her to the core, you don't use those words. Oh, my, some of the things we say to our wives. When you see that she's tired, maybe we have to step in to take up some of her load. We cater to her strengths and we help her in the areas of her weakness. We need to put ourselves in her shoes. We need to anticipate her needs. That's living in consideration of her. We don't demand. We spend time with her. She married you to be with her. And even more so than I think us men, it's more of a woman thing. You know, occasionally we should even smile at her. Yeah. We should apologize when we've messed up. Now, just on the other side of this a little bit, ladies, you got to teach us about yourselves. Believe me, you don't think like we do. You just don't. You have to help your husband understand not only what a woman is like, but what you are like. Because it's hard to get that sometimes. I would say that women are absolute mysteries in some areas. You've been there? You make a statement and, whoa, how did we just turn down that path? We're not really trying to be stupid in the whole process. It's just sometimes we don't get it because you're so much different than us. But see, that's consideration. I know my wife, and I know this woman, and so I behave toward her in a way to build her up. I'm thinking about her and her needs and her strengths and weaknesses, and I'm interacting with her so that we can live together in the right sort of way. Be considerate. A husband should be considerate. Now, the third thing I believe in front of us here is we should understand their value. We should understand their value. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. There it is. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner. You know, when you have a wife, it really is a treasure from God. And they're a very special gift from him. I love Proverbs 18:22. It says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." In other words, if God's given you a really good woman at your side, then that's a gift from God, and it's a good gift. And I know there are days we go, "Lord, are you sure?" But yeah. Good gift, good gift. We must treat them as though they're valuable, because they are. Guys, it's important. You and I are so much better off because they are in our lives. You know, married men live longer and have better, more healthy lives than men that are single. It's a good thing to be married. Yeah, sometimes we treat our wives worse than the other women, like our co-workers, our lady friends, or what. It's the strangest thing. Sometimes we tell the most tactless jokes on our wives. "Well, yeah, my wife treats me like an idol. She feeds me burnt food." Yeah, heard husbands say things like that. Sometimes we talk down to them like they're little children, and I have to scold them. You get that finger out and right in their face. No, no, no. They are not children that must be scolded. They're equal to us. We shouldn't micromanage their affairs. We don't need to tell them how to do things because we want them to do it our way. No, not much in that area for us. The criticizing has got to stop. We should never say anything about our wives in a negative form. And boy, we've seen men do that all through the years. Just makes me shudder sometimes. Had one friend that we worked with, and he was newly married, but then his wife had a baby, and now his theme was, "Oh, she's so fat." She really hadn't gained that much weight, but that was his sticking point. And so it wasn't like she's huge. She's still pretty tiny. But we moved away from there, and years later we went back and saw him. Sort of ran into him while we were going through town one day and asked him, "How's your wife doing?" And, "Oh, you know," and he gave the name, "she's just as fat as ever." My goodness, she's a decent woman. What a way, after all those years, to still be harping on the same old thing over and over again. We should really clean up after ourselves. We should do household tasks. You know, both of us live there. And my mom used to say over and over again, "Rob, I'm teaching you how to do dishes because your wife will appreciate that. Teaching you how to wash your clothes because your wife will appreciate that." And that was her theme song. "I'm getting you ready for the woman you're going to marry." And I think she did a pretty good job. If it's not kind, I don't say it. I treat her with respect. She's a treasure. There's an old story about a couple, an older couple, having dinner in a restaurant, and the wife sees another couple seated in another booth, sort of in the line of sight of both of them, and this husband with this other woman is sitting there, his arms around his wife, and he's whispering things in her ear, And she's just sort of blushing and moving in a way, you know, it's a lot of sweet nothings. And she gently, or he's gently rubbing her shoulders and touching her hair. And the woman turns to her husband and says, look at that couple over there. Look how close that man is to his wife. How he's talking to her. Look how sweet he is. Why don't you ever do that? The husband looks up from his steak and he looks over at the couple. And he turns to his wife and he says, honey, I don't even know that woman. How can I do it, you know? And the guy's clueless. His wife just put out a plea and it went right over his head, didn't it? Clueless. I think we have to understand, too, their particular weaknesses. You get that in the verse. It's interesting how the commentaries, you know, treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Most of the commentaries will say, well, that's talking about physical strength. And I think it's mostly true that most men, on average, are stronger than the average woman. And although my wife has done some pretty powerful things physically, I think, over the years, but we tend to be stronger. We ought to respect them in their weaker position. Others have said that weaker means they're more delicate, they're more of a treasure, and you take care of the treasure. And maybe that's the gist of it, too. I do know this from the scripture. This is not a put-down. Peter's not saying this because he's trying to say, oh, wives and women are weak. And no, that's not what he has in mind here at all. It means they're delicate. They're fragile. I think ladies struggle a lot more with their emotions. And I know that drives men crazy because we don't understand it. One marriage counselor talks about this and he says that men have little boxes in their brains. And so if there's something going on, they can take all the stuff associated with that problem, that issue, and put it in the box. Then they can put the lid on the box and put it back on the shelf and they can just totally ignore it. It's not a big deal. But he says a woman, her brain, everything here is connected to here and connected here and here and here and here and here. And there's all kinds of connections. So everything reminds her of something else. She doesn't have those boxes to put it in. And so the emotions just sometimes can drive a woman crazy. Herself and the people around her, right? Don't amen that. It would not be safe. But we should help them and be patient in those areas if we consider that something weaker. Jesus, you know, in the beginning, he made the wife as a compatible helper to the man. But that also means that the man is fit and suited for her. And so the two of us, man and wife, a husband and wife, we have to work together as we're going through life. And there's sometimes when a wife can give strength to help a husband through, and other times husband has to give strength to help the wife through. And we encourage each other to trust the Lord and to walk with him and do what's right. And it's that two strands together that make it so much stronger in the long run. I think that women are stronger in us than us in areas of compassion. Most ladies I know are strong in that area. But I think God is saying out here, realize what you have. Realize this treasure that I've put beside you. And bless them, work with them, be considerate of them. Treat them with respect, God says. We have no right to despise them because of something we think is a weakness in them. We should understand them. I think the last thing here in the passage he might be throwing out, we have to understand their spiritual equality. They're equal with us. And that's the phrase here, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You know, treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Not a threat, but he says in the relationship of getting along, well, it's like if you start putting sugar or sand in your gas tank or your car, you're going to have problems. That thing's not going to run right. It's going to start missing. It's going to mess up. It's going to gum up. And if we treat our wives in the wrong way, God's saying it's going to gum up our spiritual walk with him and our communication with him. He wants us to know that our wives are spiritual equals with us. They are heirs with us of the same promises and the same great things that God wants to give us. A godly husband realizes that his spouse is not only his wife, but also a sister in the Lord. And so there's a uniqueness there. And part of their inheritance in the Lord is only realized in their oneness, one to the other, their connection together. So my wife is my spiritual partner, and we work together to glorify the God who saved us. And that's what we do as a unit. You know, God said it in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. And then in Mark 10, he says, at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. This is verse 7. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one. So God has made us one. Spiritually, we're one. Spiritually, we're equal. We're working together for the glory of God. You know what the primary purpose of marriage was? God tells us in Malachi 2 and verse 14. There he's scolding the people of Israel because they were getting married, then they were divorcing their wives. And he says, no, you ought not be doing this. And in verse 14 or 15, he says, you were united to your wife by the Lord. In God's wise plan, when you married, the two of you became one person in his sight. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. Therefore, guard your passions. Keep faith with the wife of your youth. So God wants us to know that this is serious business and that we're connected spiritually together. And so if I don't treat my wife right, then my prayers before God are not going to be heard, or it's going to hinder them. And I wonder how many of us men have hindered prayers because of the way we treat our wives. Misuse my authority as a husband, and God says, I've noticed that. You shouldn't do that. You're going to mess with the authority that's above me. John MacArthur writes and says, intimate companionship is in marriage, the richest blessing of this life, was a foreign concept to the Greek-Roman culture of Peter's day. Husbands were generally uninterested in friendship with their wives, expecting them to merely maintain the household and bear children. In contrast, the Christian husband is to cultivate all the richness God designed into the grace of marriage by showing honor to his wife in loving consideration, chivalry, and companionship, so that his prayers will not be hindered, is the reward God promises to the loving, caring husband. And that's what God calls us to be. Christian marriages should be so much different from the rest of the world, all their marriages. You know, I think verses 1 through 7 here in 1 Peter 3, we've sort of discovered that it's not easy being married. Marriage is not an easy relationship. There's a story I found this week that kind of points that out. And because of the shortage of maids, a pastor advertised for a male servant to come and help his wife around the house. And so that went in the newspaper, and it was made known. And a couple of days later, a nicely dressed young man came to the front door of the parsonage. And the minister opened up the door and jumped right into the conversation. He said, son, can you start breakfast by 7 o'clock in the morning? And the young man said, I guess so. He's a little sheepish in his answers. Can you polish all the silver, wash all the dishes, do all the laundry, take care of the lawn, wash all the windows, iron all the clothes, and keep the house clean and tidy? By now, the young man was just absolutely speechless as he stood there in front of the minister. And finally, he spoke out and he said, look, Pastor, I came here to see about getting married to my girl. But if it's going to be that much work, you can count me out right now. It's actually more work than that, and more challenging work for us men, I think. But you know what God has told us through 1 Peter 3 is not easy. And we certainly are going to need the Holy Spirit's help to make our marriages what they ought to be. But you know, once we begin to do what God says and our marriages begin to be what He wants them to be, we become a beautiful picture of Christ and His church. The Lord Jesus Christ loving His church and dying for her and sacrificing for her. And that's, men, our goal of marriage, to portray that to our wives. And the wives submitting and following, and that's what the church is supposed to do. So a good marriage, a good marriage relationship takes a lot of time and effort and humility to work. It takes communication, but you know, it really is worth it in the long haul. And if you can bless that woman who's at your side, it'll be such a great, you know, you've heard that statement, haven't you? Happy wife, happy life. That happiness comes back into your own world. Let's do everything we can, husbands, to bless our wives in this way. Let's stand and pray together, shall we? Father, we're grateful that you speak to this issue of marriage, relationships within the marriage, and you put a challenge in front of both wives and husbands. And without the Holy Spirit, I don't think we can do. A wife can't submit, and a husband can't submit to serve. But the Holy Spirit can help us to do that. Father, help us in our marriages to learn to communicate, to love, to give, to live considerately with our wives, to study them and know them, and then all of our responses to them fit within those things we know so that we can bless her and honor her and encourage her. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to go from this place and really find some practical things we can do to bless our wives. So thank you. I'm grateful that you provide wives to us and good wives, and I especially thank you for mine. Help us to take this passage to heart in a special way, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.